public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the business, the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Thank you. Now, have we any apologies?
Mr. Chair, with apologies from Councillors Campbell, Hardy, McAvoy, Rowan, and Tracy.
Councillor Tinley.
Councillor Truesdale's online.
Okay.
Councillor Tinley.
Item 2, declarations of interest. Is there any declarations of interest? No. Item 3, action sheet arriving from the council meeting held on the 6th of May 2025. Pages 3, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Any matters arising? No. Can I get a proposer and a seconder? Proposed. Councillor Murphy. Selena Murphy.
Selena.
Yes. Second?
Second.
Second, Councillor Finn. Oh, yeah. Okay. Item 4, Council Minutes for Adoption and Signing. Minutes of the Council meeting held on the 6th of May 2025. Can I get a proposer? Both right. Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, can I get a proposer?
I'll be
a seconder. And any matters arising? Yes, seconder. Councillor Declan Murphy. Okay. Yes. So item 5. So the minutes of the audit committee meeting held on the 8th of May 2025. Now, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can I get a proposer? A seconder, please. Councillor O'Hare.
Proposed. Second.
And Councillor Jarvan, second. And any matters arising? Okay. Item 7, minutes of the strategic policy and resource. Oh, sorry, I missed item 6. Minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 20th May. So, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Proposer and a seconder? Councillor Hanlon, proposed. Second. Councillor Sergeant. Yes. Any matters arising? Nothing. Okay. Now, item 7, SPNR committee meeting held on the 15th of May, page 1. Page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9. Proposer and a seconder? Proposed Councillor Allen. Sorry, second. Oh, sorry.
Comment.
Councillor Hanlon, and who second? Councillor McAteer.
Okay.
Okay. Councillor Bowsey.
In relation to the bilingual signs, I'm not going to rehash the arguments we made at the SPNR committee. We recognise how the committee voted and how it will vote tonight in full council. However, we regret that this council cannot come to a reasonable consensus on gateway signage that is accurate, proportionate and respectful and reflective of the communities in our district. We would question the merit of the Equality, Good Relations and Reference Group. The purpose of this group should be about understanding each other's perspective, compromising and reaching consensus. Therefore, what is the point in participating in a group where after 12 meetings over 6 years, it results in 100% nationalist way and 0% unionist way without a single option in the officer's report that would be satisfactory to us? If it's going to be a majority vote, fine, get on with it in the full council in an open public meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair. Now, just on the same as Councillor Bowsey, very, very disappointed that the council, as a matter of policy, is prepared to drive this through after 12 meetings of the so-called equality or good relations group, no consensus, but yet they use the majority rule to push it through. It just seems incredibly unfair on us, on the minority community within this council area. And Chairman, I hate to have to say it, but it really is becoming a nationalist Republican council for a nationalist Republican people. And the minority, the significant minority of unionists within it, just don't count anymore. It's very, very disappointing, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's disappointing to hear similar comments coming from the DUP tonight again. We spoke at length, and it's actually 13 meetings now that we've had on relation to this and the continued discussions. I would also remind particular Councillor Bowsey of the uses of some of his words, particularly at SPNR, and how that was used and directed at officers, and the importance of councillors and officers having a good working relationship and acknowledging the independence of their views and the proposals that they bring to committee. I think it's really important that, you know, we work in partnership both across the chamber but also with officers across the council, and making any statement in relation to whatever report is in front of us, the councillors should be mindful of how they respond to it. But I did make the statement, and again, Councillor Riley saying it's a cold house, I provided a number of examples where this council unanimously supported a number of financial assistance calls. And Lynn, you're shaking your head. We just spoke about VE Day in the AGM. And you brought... Well, you seemed happy enough to take it.
Please don't talk across each other. Please, order. Don't talk across each other.
But I would certainly remind them of the number of examples that I provided at the committee. So, Chair, it's disappointing to hear the views of the DUP again, although it's no surprise given their statements at the committee.
Thank you, Councillor Jarvin. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, look, it's disappointing that there isn't an overall consensus towards this decision, but it's to recognise as well that, you know, the council does have a bilingual policy. It's already there. It's been there long before even I was a councillor, so I can't get my head around why this has become such a big issue. In regards to the quality and good relations, I've sat on that for the last six years, and I always found it to be a good, open, frank discussion. I didn't get that, unfortunately, when it came to this, and, you know, it was very much shut down. So to turn it around the other way, I don't accept at all. In terms of the work that goes into equality and good relations from the officers of council as well, they do an enormous amount of work to provide information so that we can all sit down and have these discussions. And, you know, I have a family of Gaelgoers. I have three children who are fluent in Irish. My husband's fluent in Irish. I have many, many friends. And I don't distinguish on where their background is from whenever they're speaking Irish, because the Irish language is for everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you, Chair. I've been on this committee quite often lately, so I have. And to be quite honest with you, isn't the Councillor Hanlon there? Just slightly disappoints me. And one of your comments, I think it was the last meeting, that you were going to push this through no matter what happened, because it was the policy of council. I think this policy is just simply wrong. It cannot be even justified. And there's 23% of this council area are what they would call the British Unionists there. And just to listen to some of the remarks here, and for Councillor Sharvin to even mention money on those particular subjects, VE Day was for everybody, so it was. You maybe wouldn't be sitting there today. You maybe be speaking German or something, so you would. Now, honestly, it's ridiculous this year. You can't buy us, that's one thing for sure. Well, that's what you implied, so you did. Yous were giving us money. You
did. Please don't shout across. Yeah, don't shout across.
Well, you can wait your turn. Come back and again. But to be quite honest with you, you saying that you give us money, that's your words, you give us money. Councillor O'Hanlon was there now, and I'll be quite honest with you, she was fairly respectful in everything she did on all those subjects that she was. There was a number of them over the last lot of years, so there was. And to be quite honest with you, just on this particular subject, and I sit it in the Good Relations Forum, so I did, that up in our part of the country, there's stones, a big Moore and granite stones are there with the names of the villages and towns on it. Nobody has any issue with them. Why put in something that's going to divide and to be quite honest with you, really divide the community, so it is. And I tell you, I don't know what's going to happen to them signs, but I'll be quite honest with you, in the Mourns, and there's other areas, I see Councillor Lewis is coming in behind me there. There is areas where they're not welcome, so they are. Why impose them on us? And Henry talked about a nationalist Republican council, so it is. It is turned into that, so it is. And I would say, to be quite honest with you, it will be supported by the Alliance Party here, so it will, who I believe it should change their colour from yellow to light green. That is where I'm at on this particular thing here. Now, it's just, if you don't respect us, fair enough, so it is. But don't ever, ever be trying to tell us what to do. We have told you what we thought. Una has said that she's going to impose the policy on us. It's the policy of the council. It was wrong at that time, so it was when it was decided, and it's still wrong now. If you want, yous are the ones that talk about the New Ireland on one hand or if this is what the New Ireland's going to look like. It's wrong. It's simply wrong. You will never have a New Ireland, so they will, if this is the way you're going to behave. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis.
Chair, thank you. I know that some colleagues in this chamber think that I don't hear them or that I don't is listening to them, but we've had this discussion time and time again since I've been elected on council, and I do hear that there are some whose children learn Irish, who go to Irish schools, summer camps, and I do understand that for them it's a rich part of their culture and their history, and I do hear that. I do, but I have been very uncomfortable for many years of to how the Irish language is being used and abused. I'm not oblivious to the rich history of the Irish language. Indeed, many Orange Halls
banners and former unionist leaders utilised Irish. However, in modern times, the Irish language has been misused and abused as becoming a banner and ram, the sign to stamp authority and confirm ownership. And you only have to look at some of the comments that are posted online when there's a new Irish street nameplate sign goes up, stamping the fact this is now a National's road, an Irish road, this is our road. And these things do hurt and they do cause greater impact to the unionist community. There are several towns and villages where bilingual signs simply aren't accepted, no matter how it's dressed up or explained. And I've said that to the council officers over a long period of time, that to impose an alien culture on these places would be taken as a direct insult to those residents. And look, I don't want no councillor here tonight simply thinking I'm just reading out, just ranting this here. I am listening to the concerns of people who live within my my district and who would have grievous concerns about bilingual signs going up in their towns and villages in which they live. I think it would be a fair guess to say the council will be met with a hefty repair bill, because look, we aren't blind. We know that these signs have been damaged and wrecked in the past, and before any councillor wants to report me to the local government ombudsman, let me be extremely clear. Do I support the signs being attacked, vandalised? No, because it sends out the wrong message to our district to see this type of thing happen. But I think that we're living in cuckoo land if we don't think that these signs will be damaged or impacted. And here tonight we have the unique opportunity to set the tone. Let's be grown up and face and accept that not every town and village in our district will see the Irish language with the same level of respect or hold it in the same esteem that everybody else does, and accept that there perhaps is a different way that we could do this, a more inclusive, a more respectful way that respects those sensitivities. And look, this council already has the bilingual nameplate policy. I'm not happy about it, but I accept that the scheme's there. I accept that there's a mechanism that people can use to facilitate that. But an attempt to force the Irish language upon communities who time and time again have indicated that they do not recognise it and do not accept it as their culture, I believe will have a severe detrimental impact. Thank you, Chair. It was just to come back on what Councillor Sharvin said. I certainly hope he's not suggesting that council officers aren't open to criticism, because they most certainly are. And if you go back and listen to what I said and the specific remarks that I was responding to, if it's seriously this council, the corporate services position, that the DEA consultation that was done, where we're well and voted for monolingual signage, that's no longer relevant because it was only for tiers 1 and 2 settlements and not for tiers 1 to 4, is ridiculous. Either don't change the parameters of the policy or go back and consult the DEA. If they're seriously saying that it would, you know, that us in Rhiwellyn DEA are saying, and Alliance and the SDLP in Rhiwellyn can correct me if I'm wrong, they were there. Are they seriously suggesting our position in Rhiwellyn DEA is, well, you know, we'd be fine with monolingual signs in Ballinahinch, but when it comes to settlements like St. Field, Crosscar and Killalay, you know, we'd quite like bilingual signs, because we think bilingual signs should apply to smaller settlements. It's a ridiculous position to not put the DEA consultation on the report because it was only relating to tiers 1 and 2 and not 1 to 4. Ridiculous position.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, again, without rehearsing all the discussion we had at SPNR in relation to this issue, I suppose what I would say is someone that served on the Equality and Good Relations Committee right through my time in council, even on the old Marion Moran Council, I suppose this was one of those maybe limited number of occasions where the committee failed in its role, really. Because over the years, I found it to be a constructive forum. We had many arguments, many debates, many heated arguments about areas of concern and areas of issues that are very sensitive to the communities that we represent. But we tried, in most cases, to find a way forward that would be acceptable to everyone across the community. But unfortunately, in this occasion, that wasn't to be the case. And I did note, you know, Councillor Hanlon's comments about maybe the people, the approach that they took. And I have to say, on this occasion, you know, I can't understand that comment in that regard, because I certainly didn't find it was unionists that were taking a sort of limited mindset approach in regard to this. It certainly wasn't. Councillor Hannah can vouch for that. We were genuinely trying to find a way forward that would work for everybody. But there was a determination from Sinn Féin to move forward with a policy that just wasn't going to be conducive to good relations in this area, because there are, whether you like it or not, there is going to be areas where they're not going to be seeking this bilingual signage in place, and that's the reality of it. And I'm just sorry that we couldn't find a way forward that would be acceptable to everybody. And I have heard this remark, maybe, and Councillor Sharvin has made the comment tonight again about getting money for VE Day, getting money for this and a wee bit of... Listen, small pots of money. And it's, whilst it was obviously very, you know, we're very grateful to be able to be provided with money to run events throughout the communities that we represent, it's not, as a unionist, I don't want poke and gestures and to be patted on the back and say, that'll do you for an hour, wee while. This isn't what this council is about. This council is about offering effective and equal representation to everyone in our community. And that must be one of its core aims. And certainly the decision, obviously, that has been taken won't meet that criteria, in my opinion. And I'm sad that we're in that situation, unfortunately, but we are where we are, and the paper will be adopted tonight. But I just felt I had to say that.
Here,
Councillor Hanlon, you've been quite pleased. You were already in.
Yeah, just a note, I did not say that I was pushing it through no matter what. I didn't. That was after how many meetings? 11? I didn't say I was pushing it through. We couldn't reach a consensus. Now, I have always worked well with all parties in this chamber, as group lead and as a local DEA councillor, so I don't accept that I went in and didn't try to talk to you, because I did. And I do note some parties didn't even turn up to Equality and Good Relations to have the discussion either. But I just think it's very unfair. Yeah, there's no consensus, but this does happen. And when I suggested Equality and Good Relations that we put it out to vote in the DEA, I do remember somebody saying, but sure, we wouldn't win it. And that's democracy. This is the Sinn Féin position, and this is where we've landed with it. And it's been ratified at SPNR, and I'm hoping that it will go through tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Harry.
Yes, thanks, Chair, for letting me in. And I just want to say, and I made these comments in the meeting as well when I was chairing, that I was very disappointed with the language and comments across the chamber. I think Councillor Hannah has got the colour of my top, like green, mixed up with our party stance on this, and it's nothing to do with where we stand. And I don't think I am disappointed with how the Irish language has been used as a stamp to define one community or the other. And actually, Irish language is not that at all. It is, as Councillor Hanlon said, is a language for all, and that this signage will be something that will be to include those minority speakers in our district. I also want to say Councillor Hanlon also made reference to the signage in his own district, which are the granite boulders, and I just want to say this, and I stated it at the meeting as well, that this paper was not saying that all signs were going to be changed immediately. There's not going to be any immediate change to signage like that. It's not going to. We don't even know if we have the money to do this immediately, and it will be more than likely, I would say, a gradual thing over the next few years. But yeah, I genuinely want to just state that disappointment, and that it's not one way or the other. And one thing that my colleague, Councillor Enright, reminded me of is that is across these British Isles, languages are embraced. I mean, if you go to Wales and Scotland, where minority languages are also included on signage, I don't see why here in Yeomanry Down it would be any different. And it's not me saying that I'm supportive of one community or the other. In fact, I'm supportive of all communities, and I'm supportive of those who speak Irish. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. Look, Chair, I just want to say on behalf, again, of our DUP party here, we believe Northern Ireland should feel comfortable expressing their national and cultural identity, and that does include those who cherish their Irish identity. However, the way forward and our approach to legislation must be fair and balanced to each tradition, recognising and reflecting the delicate balance of community relations in Northern Ireland. Cultural and language provisions must be about facilitation rather than imposition. And, you know, I do think back to our own Rowan DEA meeting that Councillor Bowsey has referred to earlier. And, you know, whenever we discussed this, even at that meeting, and, you know, there was a consensus around the table. I was at the meeting, and, you know, the Lands Party, the SDLP, was represented there as well. And there was a consensus and agreement on the mono language for the Rowan DEA. So I don't understand how there was backtracking on that from those other parties whenever it was agreed around the table. I think the frustration really tonight is from, you know, the feeling that if you're not being listened to, when you put your representation forward at these groups and you think there is consensus sometimes, and yes, there has been constructive conversations had, but I think whenever you see it borne out later that your views haven't been listened to, I think that's the main frustration here all around. So, yeah, and again, I just refer back to our own DEA forum. We thought we had consensus, and then later on we found out we hadn't. So, you know, it's very frustrating when you feel as if you're not being listened to. And as I said, we're all about consensus politics, not whenever majority rule happens to suit certain parties. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Sharon. Councillor Jackson, would you turn your mic off?
Thanks, Chair. I know I've been in before, so I'll be extremely brief. Just in response to Councillor Bowsey, what actually stated, and it's in the recording, is that the findings did not suit the officer. So what you actually stated is that the findings of such a DA form did not suit the officer. So that would, you can take your own feed out. Well, that's what the recording says. But look, obviously, consensus can't be found, but the bilingual approach actually creates a shared space. You know, it recognises Irish and English languages within our district. You know, one solution is that we only have Irish, and then we definitely wouldn't be happy. If we only have English, then again, we wouldn't be happy. And having bilingual actually would recognise the languages that we have within our district. So, sorry, I missed your comment, Councillor.
Please don't shout across.
Yeah, I just didn't pick them up. But just in reference to Councillor Jackson in relation to his DEA form, and they continue to seem to rehash this out continuously over and over again. As I clarified at the committee to the officer that brought the report, the consultation was different for what was being asked at the DEA form. It was in relation to Tier 1 and 2, which related to Ballinhinch only within Rowallan. It didn't actually ask any of the other settlements that would be contained within Rowallan. So the report that was presented was for all across the district at any tiers and what would be the approach. So it wasn't actually what was being asked of the DEA, and I did clarify that.
Thank you, Councillor.
Sure, if I could just come in. I wasn't at SPNR and I haven't listened to the recording, but I would assume, or I can only ask the Councillor Bowsey if he said that statement did not actually mean that statement and he would withdraw it. Council officials are here to deliver on behalf of all parts of the community and all councillors in this chamber. So that's quite a serious allegation to, if it was said, to say that it didn't suit a council officer. Council officers prepare papers. As I say, I wasn't at the committee, so if and people are entitled to views, and yes, we're always open to criticism, but that's a very serious allegation, Councillor Bowsey.
I would disagree with how it's worded in the minutes.
Well, if we listen back to the recording, and the recording says that, I would ask that Councillor Bowsey consider that statement and withdraw.
Well, I'm happy to review, but I have tonight clarified my comments that
council officer was reached out to ask to put the results of the DEA consultation within the report. If he doesn't believe that it was no longer relevant because the consultation was only for tiers 1 and 2, then he shouldn't make the policy about tiers 1 to 4. He should either go back to the DEAs and consult in tiers 2, 3 and 4 as well, or keep the scope of the policy the same. So hopefully that clarifies.
And Chair, I would just say that this matter was considered on numerous occasions by the Equality and Good Relations. All councillors that were on that will know why the paper was brought forward, but we will listen to the recording, and if there is, I would ask if I pick that up separately with you, Councillor Bowsley.
Well, everyone's not agreeing with this, so it's going to go to a vote.
Just point of clarity, Chair, are we voting for what is recommended in the minutes?
Yep, what's in the minutes? So if we could do a show of hands, there's two councillors online just as well. It just for what has been proposed in the minutes. Show of hands. And Councillor Truesdale and Councillor Hyle, can you just confirm what way you were voting? If you're voting for, sorry.
Four.
Four. Councillor Truesdale, did you speak there? Did she?
Yeah. Four.
Okay. Then show of hands for those against, and I don't think there's anybody else on.
So we've 34, 6 against, and no abstention.
Okay, item 8, the minutes of the NHC committee held on the 19th of May. Page 1, page 2. Page 3 and page 4. Can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Propose Councillor Devlin and second Councillor Mathers. And any matters arising? No. Okay, item 9. Item 9, the minutes of the S&E committee held on the 21st of May. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Chair, can Sarah just come in on a point of accuracy?
Yes, so just under item SE56, 2025, the vote that was taken, it was 11-4, 2 against and 1 abstention. In the minute it says 11-4, 3 against and 1 abstention, so it's just to amend that record.
Okay. Okay, proposer and seconder, Councillor Brennan and Councillor Enright. Any matters arising?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Councillor Reddy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chairman, Madam Chair, it's on the issue of this fossil fuel treaty that wishes to completely eliminate the use of fossil fuels within the area. I commented on the day, and myself and my colleague Johnny Jackson voted against it because it's becoming increasingly clear now that 70% of your electricity bill is taken up by subsidies and green taxes and whatever, and that's hurting ordinary working class people. And Madam Chair, the craziest thing is 2025 is going to be the year in which the biggest use of fossil fuels takes place across the globe, and that's been caused by the growth countries, Indonesia, China, India, and these countries. Britain, the UK, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland combined don't even produce 1%. But yet the UK and Republic of Ireland now have the most expensive electricity prices in the developed world because we're going headlong after this net zero, which is really going to damage our country. And I don't know how many people have read this non-proliferation fossil fuel treaty, but it's a disaster. And yet we're just blindly following through on this issue when it really will affect all our ratepayers in a very, very damaging way. And it's affecting, hurting the most vulnerable people in society. And we shouldn't be going down this route. Yes, save energy. That's common sense. But you cannot just phase out fossil fuels in the way that the Alliance Party and other people that across the water want to do. It's just absolute madness, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Item 10, the minutes of the ASP and the Special Audit Committee held on the 23rd of May. Can I get a proposal and a seconder, please? Oh, sorry, I didn't do the page. So, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Can I get a proposal and a seconder?
I'll be a proposed, Chair.
Okay, it's Councillor Sharp and Councillor O'Hare second. Yes. Thank you. Any matters arising? Nope. But 11, there's nothing planned. Selection, sure, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, item 12, correspondence report 12.1. We'll read them all out. No, 12.7. Would anyone like to speak in any of them? Yes, okay, Councillor Devlin.
You, Chair, first of all, congratulations on your appointment. Best of luck for your year ahead. I was hoping to raise an item on 12.3 as relation to the notice of motion that I'd raised, obviously, a couple of months back on endometriosis. I suppose in terms of the ministerial response, Chair, I'm really pleased that the drug is now available in Northern Ireland. We all know this isn't going to solve the problems of every woman with endometriosis, but at least it's now an option for clinicians to consider, albeit on a case-by-case basis. And just whenever we're on that topic, Chair, I was also hoping to raise another matter linked to the endometriosis. I did notice, I think back in April, that down in Cork City, a brand new state-of-the-art endometriosis centre, which is located at the Lee Clinic in Cork City, and is operated by the Cork University Maternity Hospital, has opened its doors. And this facility is due to deliver a brand new sort of model of care and one that meets the complex needs of women with endometriosis whilst providing timely, equitable access to essential services for women living with this condition. It's hoped that this state-of-the-art facility will continue to bridge the gap in healthcare for those suffering with endometriosis in the south of Ireland. So I suppose I'm genuinely really pleased for women in the south who can avail of this service. But for myself and for thousands of women here in Northern Ireland, it seems very cruel. We know it's there, it's on this island, but it remains out of reach for us. So, Chair, I was hoping this evening to propose that we write to our Health Minister and ask him to consider some additional collaboration with the Southern Government to see if women here who are severely impacted by endometriosis could access this cross-border care and this service in Cork. Given that we're the only part of these islands not to have a dedicated women's healthcare strategy, and I know I'm always going on about this at council here, so I'm asking our Health Minister, I suppose, to do more for those women who are suffering day and daily with the very real and debilitating condition of endometriosis. We are told that addressing waiting lists is a priority for the executive, and women here in the north have been waiting sort of too long. So really, just, Chair, we propose it right off to the Health Minister to sort of look at some type of cross-border cooperation with the new endometriosis centre in Cork.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to item 12.4, response from the Air Minister. We welcome the support from the Agriculture Minister in relation to the issues obtaining seasonal workers, particularly in the fishing industry. We also welcome the reset of relations between the EU and the British government. We hope this will begin to redress some of the disastrous implications of Brexit. However, as the Minister outlines within his correspondence, we are at the mercy of the British Government in relation to this issue, and if the recent comments by Keir Starmer is anything to go off, I fear that the continued issues with the seasonal workers will not just persist but accelerate the disastrous impact on the fishing towns and communities across the north, like here in Kilkeel. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And just one in relation to the agenda item in relation to the response to the pathway funding for the Little Stars playground in Kilalane. And I would like to thank at this juncture everybody in the chamber who supported the motion that night up here before us for debate and for sending off the minister. And I know in recent days and this past week or two, the facility has secured the necessary funding. That news is to be welcomed. And again, to everybody, their support and in securing the funding in any way possible. As to the minister for listening, thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. And could I speak to two different things? Yeah, I'm allowed to do that. Just the first one there is from the Education Minister, what Councillor Andrews has said there. I'm delighted to see that he has found the money, so he has there, and as Terry has seen there, it will help a considerable number of childcare units, so it will create the country, so it will, and make an awful difference, so it will. So I would like to just say welcome this year and Councillor Gibbons. And just on the wildfires of the mountains, the one before 12.6, the response from Minister Muir, I think, is very weak. So to be quite honest with you, he talks about limitation of fire control measures in the moorings. Actions speak louder than words, and I think he needs to do a bit more. Just at this moment in time, there's some things happening, very, very little. So it is, well, next time we get a dry period, it'll all start again. As Councillor Clark said at another comment and another meeting, said that these things need done now, so they're not talking about them there and supporting them. The action needs to take place in these, so they do as soon as possible. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Devlin.
Thanks.
Councillor Riley.
Chairman, it was just on the correspondence about the visa scheme, and very, very disappointing that still no movement on it for fishermen. And Councillor Rice said he welcomes the reset with relations between the UK and Brussels. It's a disaster for our fishing community, Chairman.
Yeah.
Absolute sure. Disaster. Whenever Keir Starmer said he was going to stop the boats, it looks like he wanted to stop the UK's fishing boats. It's just an absolute sellout, disgrace, betrayal. Another 12 years of unrestricted access up until our 6-mile limit. It's just incredible that that man was prepared to go to Brussels and do that. And no reciprocation on the EU side for our fishermen. Even Kilkeel men can't go into Dundalk Bay because EU says, no, you're British, stay out. And even though the Nationalist and Republican community, they can use, oh, I'm British or Irish, under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, and they try to get concessions left, right and centre, well, maybe our fishermen should all go and say, oh, we're all Irish, we need to get into Dundalk Bay to get the prawns that we always got. But it's just absolutely pathetic of what Keir Starmer done in the fishing industry. It's probably one of the biggest betrayals of all time. And, Madam Chair, all the millions of pounds that have been spent on these sheds at the ports in Northern Ireland on SPS, they're now going to be redundant. Maybe we should send an urgent letter requesting the use of those sheds. It might make a good civic centre for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry for jumping back and forth. It's really just following on from Councillor Hannah's comments regarding the response from the DERA Minister. I suppose just a very similar vein. I think the response itself is really disappointing. And I suppose since way back from the big fire in, I think it was April 2021, we've just seen a lot of really lip service to the issue. We haven't really seen any action. We've seen a lot of photo calls, a lot of press statements, and really it's the likes of the fire services. I know Councillor Clark's coming in behind me. It's Mourne Heritage Trust, it's Mourne Mountain Rescue. It's all those voluntary people that are paying the price every single time. And we've seen the dreadful images there a matter of weeks ago in Hilltown where a person really lost their house. And we're lucky that fire service, you know, personnel aren't losing their lives either in terms of all this work. So really it's time that we see action and not just words from ministers and from I suppose everybody right across the board. I know as an action chair from this council, we were looking at a special council meeting. I suppose just a query, is there a date for that meeting at this point? Because we really want to send a strong message from this council that the lip service and the photo calls are no longer and we need to see some type of action to protect our landscape.
Sure, there is a date, Thursday the 26th of June.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair.
Just to concur with the other speakers in regards to 12.6, in regards to the wildfires motion and letter from the Minister. It is a weak response from the Minister. We've heard this all through the press, that there's a problem with the procurement of an organisation to carry this work out. I think we should write back, I propose we write back and ask for a time frame in regards to this procurement exercise. Because, as other members have said, there's still serious risk. We're not even into the main summer season yet. And there's serious risk to our habitats. And there real needs a real energy and a focus in regards to it. And even in regards to amber warnings for wildfires, you know, it just seems every organisation has a different approach to the potential of wildfires, but also in regards to, I think it was NI Water banned the use of barbecues in the Silent Valley. So I think there needs to be a common approach from all, you know, statutory partners, you know, the likes of the National Trust, the Forestry, the Council, NI Water, all them organisations. So in my proposal, I'd like the Council to get that clarity from them organisations and have a common approach in regards to that. Because there is some areas where, you know, an organisation could say they could have barbecues in a safe area where you've got the proper bins for disposal. But we heard of an incident where a young child walked across a hot barbecue down at Morlock Beach, you know. So it's that type of message we need to get out to the public. You know, let's get a common approach. So I'd appreciate if the officers would write to them organisations and get a common approach.
Second, Mr. Harmon. Okay.
Mr. Sharvin. Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I'm coming in on 12.4, the fishing industry fees and enhancement support. I know the Deer Minister has responded a couple of times in relation to the letters, but you sort of have to wonder how the Minister clearly has no impact on the UK government, and maybe we should be writing to the Minister of Fisheries in the UK government to ask him of his opinion and to get his commitment to resolving with the issue, because I think it was only a week ago that the Labour government announced a fishing and coastal growth fund of £360 million, which will be prorated per harbour, is my understanding. But it's not very clear exactly what each harbour are getting as well. You know, Kilkeel, Ardlass, Port of Ogie. I know Councillor Riley in the press is saying if it's prorated, well, Kilkeel will get the most, so proudly. But, you know, I think we should be writing to the Westminster Minister to actually show our voice and make it a bit louder, and also then ask where is the £360 million and how much of that will the three ports within our district actually receive.
Sure, we did write on the back of the last notice motion to both the UKEFA, I think it was, and to and the Scottish Government as well, but we haven't received a response yet. So, and the UK Secretary of State as well. So, but if you have a second, or we can certainly write again. I just want to draw attention to that written on.
Okay, Councillor Bisey.
Just wondering why we're on correspondences if the National Trust has responded to our request to meet with us.
So they have responded to the request to meet on wildfires, not on the other correspondence.
Would it be worth we send an additional letter to the response from them in relation to the gondola?
Second that.
Yeah, Sarah's just advising she is liaising with them on it to see if the holiday time is causing an issue. Just
okay. Now, item 13. Sorry, I need a proposer and seconder. Yeah, for all of those proposer and seconder, Councillor Andrews and second Councillor Murphy. Yeah. Item 13, notice of a motion, Supreme Court ruling. This is referred to the ERT committee withstanding orders.
The Equality and Good Relations.
Oh, sorry, the Equality and Good Relations 16.1.6. And Councillor Jackson, you're going to read it. Have you got a seconder? Councillor Hannah, second that.
Just put your microphone on, Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. That this Council welcomes the recent Supreme Court ruling which clarified that under the Equality Act 2010, a woman is a biological woman or girl, a person born female. Trans women, biological men should not be permitted to use a woman's facilities. If somebody identifies as trans, they do not change sex for the purposes of the Act, even if they have a gender recognition certificate. Furthermore, it accepts the initial assessment by the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland that this judgment, in the context of a corresponding equality law, the Sex Discrimination Northern Ireland Order 1976, is likely to be deemed by our industrial tribunals and courts to be highly persuasive, and consequently, it is likely to be followed in cases where similar issues arise. Accordingly, Council resolves to urgently review all relevant Council policies and to make it clear that if a space or service is designated as woman only across the district, a person who was born male but identifies as a woman does not have a right to use that space or service. I just have to quickly say it's really disappointing that this notice of motion is not being heard tonight in the chamber. It's highly important. It is a Supreme Court ruling in our own land. And it's highly disappointing that we're not having the opportunity to discuss it here tonight. And just on that basis, on the basis of the earlier discussion around the Irish language acts, the Irish language signs, we as a DUP group have had to make a decision to withdraw from the Good Relations reference group until further notice. And unfortunately tonight, when there's other notice of motions being heard above this one, we feel the need that we can't take part in tonight's meeting anymore. So I'll withdraw from tonight's meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, item 14, notice of motion, good jobs, employment rights, and this is going to be read by Councillor Declan Murphy. And have you somebody to second it, Declan?
Yeah, Councillor Hannan.
Yes, yeah, being heard tonight. Okay, go ahead.
Very disappointed there's only part of the room left, but anyway, I'll go ahead. So this Council calls for the delivery of equal and fair rights for all workers and welcomes the good jobs employment rights legislation currently being considered by the Stormont Assembly. This bill presents an unparalleled opportunity to grow a productive regional economy that benefits our businesses, our workers and their families within the All-Ireland and global economic contexts. Good jobs which deliver fair wages, guarantee secure employment with strong union recognition and collective bargaining rights are the cornerstone of an economy that values inclusive growth and a fair distribution of wealth. The bill will ensure the fair treatment of workers in regard to pay, tips and gratuities, holiday pay and parental leave, as well as bringing tangible benefits to workers' lives across the entire community. This Council endorses a strong progressive workers' rights legislation to build a strong regional economy in which both businesses and workers prosper, and we finally begin to eradicate the scourge of workplace inequalities. So just if I could notes on this. The Good Jobs Employment Rights legislation due to come before the Assembly is the most progressive employment legislation ever to be introduced in the North. It presents an unparalleled opportunity to grow a productive regional economy that benefits our businesses, our workers and their families within the All-Ireland and global economic contexts. Good jobs which deliver fair wages, secure employment, strong union recognition and collective bargaining rights are the cornerstone of a fair and inclusive economy. Workers are central to developing our economy. They need to feel valued and rewarded. They are entitled to good employment conditions and enjoy workplace settings where their rights are heard and well protected. Studies from the Centre for Business Research, CBR, at the University of Cambridge conclude that labour laws boost productivity and inclusivity, and that strong labour protection is associated with higher employment and lower unemployment. These also states that labour laws, including those regulating flexible working and working time and employee representation, have positive productivity effects. The International Labour Organization, ILO, is clear that strong labour laws and union density improves economic productivity and growth. In other words, strong labour laws which ensure fair play and secure working conditions and support strong representation in the workplace are not just good for workers, but also for businesses and the wider community. The bill will ensure fair treatment of workers in regard to net take-home pay, retention of tips and gratuities, holiday pay and parental leave. It will improve terms of employment by giving workers more say on their working arrangements, such as the type of employment contract which best suits the employer and the employee, ensuring that workers have income security and more predictable work schedules. Legislation will also tackle issues around fire and rehire practices, redundancy and notification periods, and the importance of all workers understanding the terms and conditions of their employment. Going forward, it makes sense that legislation for workers' rights should be standardised and on an all-Ireland basis. This is a policy area which could be explored and progressed by North-South Ministerial Council. The Good Jobs Bill will bring tangible benefits to workers' lives across our entire community. Workers' rights transcend the historic community divisions that have hampered political, social and economic progress. Cross-party support endorsing the full implementation of the legislation would represent a powerful political statement about both shared prosperity and a shared future. Jeanette.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Allen, you're second that.
Yeah, happy to second. Thank you.
Councillor Murphy, would you turn off your mic, please? Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. I just want to say at the outset, certainly my own party, we're committed to building an economy that works for all, including here in Uriam Warren Down District, where we have many businesses who are small and medium-sized enterprises. We want to see a thriving business sector where every business grows stronger and contributes to their local communities. Certainly my party is dedicated not only to wealth creation and supporting businesses, but also to protecting workers' rights. And we believe that access to good jobs where workers have a choice, a decent income, job security, satisfying work and decent working conditions, that should be integral to any public policy. This contributes to better health and well-being by tackling inequalities, building self-sufficiency and combating poverty. The motion before us this evening may sound promising on paper, but I think it's clear that the finer details are far from ideal, and the legislation presented to the Assembly recently lacks that significant backing and major business endorsements. Our party has been engaging extensively with businesses, including the Federation of Small Businesses, which has raised grave concerns about the consultation process for this bill. And in fact, you could probably ask many businesses, even in this own, our own district here, as to whether they're even aware of the bill at this moment in time. More people in Northern Ireland are employed by SMEs than by any other type of organisation, both public and private. SMEs are obviously the backbone of our economy, and it is essential that those voices are heard. The many changes which are being proposed, if enacted, would bring substantial burden on already overpressed business owners. And business sectors has had to adjust to issues like Brexit and to recent budget changes such as the national insurance and minimum wage increases, and the upcoming business property inheritance tax, now a raft of proposals without what I would describe as widespread consultation. This legislation does not reflect the realities that many SMEs face in their employment practices, and it will be detrimental to their growth going forward. The measures included in the bill are far-reaching and will disrupt employment practices across Northern Ireland. And this year, the Minister aims to have this legislation enacted within this mandate without the proper scrutiny that it deserves. And if we are serious about employment rights and ensuring everyone across Northern Ireland has a good job, then we need time to properly scrutinise that legislation which is being brought forward to the Assembly. And certainly the Us Unionist Party team up there will look to hold the Minister to account in that regard and ensure that the legislation is thoroughly examined. And until such times as that is the case, I don't feel our council should be endorsing what I would describe at this moment as time as poorly scrutinised legislation.
Sharvin?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And the SDLP certainly agrees with the sentiment of the motion, certainly following on from a private member's bill by our colleague Sinead McLaughlin, MLA, on addressing regional balance across the north. Certainly we want to see fair wages, secure employment, and certainly growth and opportunities for all. We do find it difficult to discuss a bill that's not even being published or even drafted. Matthew O'Toole, Leader of Opposition, asked on the 8th of May this year when the bill actually will be drafted, and I think potentially he's still waiting for a response. So it's difficult to have a full an honest debate about something that's not even being published and shared. And given those points, I think it would be important for us to amend the motion to state at the end of the first paragraph that it's being considered by Stormont Executive and not by Stormont Assembly, given that it's in not even draft mode and not even published. So just that one amendment that Stormont Executive are considering it for endorsement, and then it'll come to the Assembly.
Murphy.
So it's the end of the first paragraph. It states employment rights legislation currently considered by the Stormont Assembly. So I'm removing the word Assembly, and it would be Stormont Executive.
Echo a lot of the sentiments around the room. Agree with the sentiments of the motion, and it is important to see workers and employment rights brought up to a standard here. But as has been said, the legislation hasn't been published yet, and so agree with the motion or with the amendment. Sorry, but happy to support the amendment.
Thank you. But not everybody's in agreement. Is it?
You okay?
You okay. All right.
Yeah, just to sum up, no, definitely take the concerns that have been expressed by Councillor Taylor. You know, this does have to be scrutinised and scrutinised properly, but there is a responsibility on businesses. If it's a piece of legislation that actually affects them, then they have that responsibility to take a look and keep themselves up to speed and, you know, fully accept the amendment proposed as well. So happy that everybody else or everybody here is going to support the motion. So.
Councillor Taylor, just for the record, is clear that he's not supporting the motion.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, item 15, notice of motion, 14 rights for the election of President of Ireland, and that's going to be led by Councillor Quinn and her heard tonight.
Thank you, Chair, and best wishes to you, Philip. I know you'll be both amazing. This will be seconded by Councillor Michael Rice. So that this post. Council notes that the 1998 Belfast Good Friday Agreement recognises the birthrights of all the people of the North to identify themselves and be accepted as Irish or British or both. Recalls in November 2013 the fifth report of the Convention on the Constitutional recommended to give citizens residing outside the 26 counties the right to vote in presidential elections. Further notes that Irish citizens living in the North can stand for and be elected as President of Ireland but cannot vote in Irish presidential elections. and calls on this council to write to the Irish Government and ask them that they implement the recommendations of the Convention on the Constitution with regards to voting rights in presidential elections, thereby extending the rights to vote in elections for President of Ireland to all Irish citizens on the island of Ireland. Sinn Féin urges all council members to support this motion, calling for the Irish Government to fulfil their responsibilities and finally extend the right to vote in Irish presidential elections to the hundreds of thousands of Irish citizens living in the north of Ireland. It is long past time that the Irish Government resolves this unacceptable democratic deficit and sets the date for a referendum to allow Irish citizens to have their say in electing the President of Ireland. By speaking with one voice on this issue, our council can affirm the principles of party esteem, mutual respect and equality that's enshrined in the Good Friday Agreement. Central to the Good Friday Agreement was the recognition of the birthrights of every citizen in the North to simply identify as Irish, British or neither and to be accepted as such. The Irish Government's duty is clearly established under Article 2 of the Irish Constitution, which underpins the birthrights of everyone on the island of Ireland to be part of the Irish nation. Equally, the Good Friday Agreement explicitly recognises that the rights of those of us in the North who identify as Irish to be accepted and respected as Irish citizens. 12 years have since passed in 2013 when the Constitutional Convention in Dublin voted overwhelmingly by a margin of 78% to extend the voting rights of Irish citizens living in the North and abroad. This is important recognition of the reality of hundreds of thousands of Irish living here and the vast Irish diaspora across the globe. The position has since been endorsed by all main parties in the South. Yet, despite these strong endorsements, there's been a lack of progress on delivering this proposal. In 2014, Sinn Féin introduced legislation in the Dáil to give effect to the recommendations of the Constitutional Convention. In 2017, the Irish Government agreed to hold a referendum on amending Article 12 of the Irish Constitution to extend voting rights, but no progress has been made since then. Even the 2020 Programme for Government pledged to deliver this, yet nothing has been done. Another backward step in the current government that has failed to prioritise these measures in its current Programme for Government, representing a regression omission that denies the clearly defined and recognised rights of Irish citizens and runs counter to the demographic will of the people across this island. Here we are in 2025, the next presidential election fast approaching, and despite years of promises and commitments from successive Dublin governments, Irish citizens in the North remain disenfranchised. This is a stark contrast to progress that's been made in other regions of the Irish state. For example, 2015, when Ireland legislised equal marriage through a referendum following the Constitution Convention recommendations, extending the presidential voting rights is to all Irish citizens is an appropriate and proportionate step that would reflect the momentum that is for constitutional change that is gathering across this nation. Moreover, their office of Oireachtar an Éireann is held in the highest regard both at home and abroad. Recent international events have shown us how the Irish President can use their office for morale and political and democratic leadership. The current President in particular has shown immense courage in appealing to world leaders to a call for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, standing up for international law and justice. Irish citizens in the North should have the right to help shape the future of Ireland in the Irish Presidency. Our rights as Irish citizens are guaranteed under the Good Friday Agreement and in its Irish Constitution, yet those rights are not being engaged in practice. That demographic deficit must end. The Irish Government must act now. There's no excuse for delay. Irish citizens in the North have the right to vote in the next presidential election, and I hope that this council will endorse this call with one voice for all of us with an Irish identity to vote. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Wright.
Thanks, Chair. Happy to second tonight's motion calling the Irish Government to fulfil their responsibility and finally extend the right to vote in Irish presidential elections. When I was reflecting on this motion, for example, like we have a unique situation in this council district that holds both All-Ireland titles, the Tailteann Cup and the Sam Maguire. Yet, if the election was held tomorrow, neither teams or their supporters would be able to vote in the Irish presidential elections. So, the Irish Government must give a timeline to set a date for the referendum and finally act on the 12-year commitment to extend voting rights to the North. Thank you.
Councillor Fain.
Thank you very much, Chair. And just before going any further, just to wish you congratulations, first of all, on taking on the new role and the very best of luck for the next 12 months. On behalf of the SDLP, I would like to thank Councillor Quinn for bringing this motion forward. The SDLP support for the extension of presidential voting rights to Irish citizens in the North is well established. And this council has already adopted a position in support of extending the franchise to those of us in the north back in 2015, and the SDLP is happy to reaffirm that support today. This is not just a matter of political reform, it's a matter of basic democratic justice. Irish citizens in the north are full citizens of Ireland. We carry Irish passports, we cherish our Irish identity, and we are passionately invested in the future of our country. Yet when it comes to choosing the President of Ireland, the head of our nation, we are denied a voice. It is simply wrong that an Irish citizen in the north is allowed to stand for election to the office of President, but Irish citizens in the north cannot cast a ballot in a presidential election. That contradiction really does fly in the face of the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement, which affirms our right to identify as Irish and be recognised as Irish. But rights must be more than symbolic. They must be real and they must be felt. The President of Ireland is a unifying figure, and incumbent President Michael D. Higgins has performed that role of unifier with distinction and has given voice to this country's values, most recently and most notably through his impassioned defence of the dignity of the Palestinian people. President Higgins has represented Irish citizens and the values of the Irish people the world over, no matter where they live. So this is about equal citizenship. It is about affirming that the Irish nation does not end at the border, and it is about ensuring that the voices of people in the north of Ireland are heard and respected. So I would like to thank Councillor Quinn again for bringing this motion forward. The SDLP will be supporting this as a vote of confidence in a more inclusive representative Ireland, one where every citizen matters and one where every vote counts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fein. Councillor Harry.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you to Councillor Quinn and Councillor Rice for bringing the motion tonight. As you've stated already, that the Good Friday Agreement does recognise the right to identify as British, Irish, or both, or neither. And subsequent legal tests have affirmed this applies to citizenships for people from across Northern Ireland, and they can hold British, Irish, or both citizenship. The Convention of Constitution was also explicit in extending voting to all Irish citizens, and that therefore includes any person who chooses to identify as Irish in the North. This move would also be a step toward reconciliation and recognition of Irish identity for people across Northern Ireland. And ultimately, it is important to recognise that not everyone will choose this identity, but it's still gives a point to show and choose respect for these rights, and will ultimately make Northern Ireland and these six counties more stronger and stable in recognising both identities and the Irish identity and citizenship and what that is. So yeah, I thank that, and I think it's very important that the Irish government do bring this for citizens across Northern Ireland.
Councillor Harry, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The motion on voting rights in Irish presidential elections, it's one that I've seen presented periodically during my time in council, and the most recent one by Sinn Féin. I'm not sure, it may be a response to the bill that's been presented by Peter Tobin in the Republic, which refers to this very same issue. It's certainly clear that this hasn't been a priority issue for successive Irish governments, and there have been practical concerns raised by legislators, commentators in the Republic of Ireland around the Constitution and how people would register, how to verify voters who are abroad, and indeed what the political consequences would mean. So even in the Republic there isn't anywhere near a consensus on this issue. And certainly from my own point of view as a committed unionist, the reality is that Northern Ireland remains an integral part of the United Kingdom, and the head of state is King Charles. And while some in the chamber will aspire to something different, any proposal I feel to allow citizens to vote in Northern Ireland here, seek and elect a head of state in a neighbouring jurisdiction would only serve to undermine that constitutional position. And I know that that's something Sinn Féin and others would be well aware of. So with that in mind, I won't be supporting the motion presented to us this evening.
Everybody else is for. Yes,
Anya,
would you like to wrap it up?
Yeah, no, thank you. And thanks to Michael Rice for seconding. I know he mentioned All Ireland Tartan Cup winners, and I hope out of the two winners, he knows who's better. Just living 5 miles from the border, it's just ridiculous to the fact that, you don't be able to live or be able to acknowledge a presidential election that is obviously so important to many people in Ireland. So thank you for everyone for the support.
Thank you. Now, item 16, notice of motion, establishment Arts Working Group. And the motion is going to be referred to the ERT Committee in accordance with Standing Order 16.1.6. Councillor Finn, do you want to read your motion and have you got a seconder?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. And just to say congratulations on your appointment to the role. I'm really pleased and I've really enjoyed working with you over the last 2 years. I'm sure you'll do a fantastic job. This motion will be seconded by Councillor Shorvin and it reads, Murray Mornin' Down District Council recognises the impact that regional inequalities on funding have had on our district's arts sector, acknowledges the support that artists, creatives and groups require and the gap in what they will need in the future, particularly given the closure of Murray Town Hall, and seeks to establish an arts working group to provide support and create a roadmap for the sector across our district. Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of the meeting, and safe home, everybody. Thank you.